The Profound Ministry of Prophets and Prophetesses. St. Matthew 7:13-14, Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way, that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. God chooses very few people for his divine ministry, because it is a life of great suffering and humiliation. However, it is likewise a life of reward and great spiritual benefits because of the spiritual heights and depths of divine guidance. Many people, who say that they know God, reject the divine prognostications of the prophets and prophetesses of our time. That is true because they do not believe nor understand the scriptures concerning that profound ministry. He gave this divine ministry to those whom he has prepared. Through preparation, he has given some of us perfection in prophecy. He gave this type of ministry to the church for returning his people to him. He strengthens, through divine prophecy, those who are spiritually weak. When believers accepted the messages of the prophets and prophetesses, he fulfilled his purpose through the edifying of the church. That is consistent with the Old and New Testaments. Let us scrutinize and illustrate these truths out of the scriptures. Jeremiah 1:12, Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. It is evident that the prophet Jeremiah had a vision of a future event. God explicitly spoke to him afterward and said, Thou hast well seen. God told him that he would no longer prophesy of a time afar off, but he would quickly bring his word to pass. Therefore, it is true with many of the messages that the Lord is giving me. The fulfillment is at hand, and the word of the Lord shall be an established reality in the sight of both the believers and unbelievers. The Lord continues to inform Jeremiah in verse 9, Then the Lord put forth his hand, and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Now we understand that prophets and prophetesses must receive our messages from God. The Lord gave Jeremiah unlimited power of his word. The Lord continues to speak to the prophet in verse 10, See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out, and to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. None other ministry is as profound with spiritual authority and spiritual gravity as the prophets and prophetesses' ministry. Jeremiah's authority over the kingdoms of the earth was spiritual, and not literal. God gave him messages to rebuke kings, priests, and nations by exposing their sins through God's judgment messages. He pulled down mighty kingdoms with God's prophetic messages that he revealed to him. Even his words were destruction, in many instances, to those who would not obey them. The Lord is communing with Jeremiah in verses 16-17, And I will utter my judgments against them touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee, be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. The Lord commanded the prophet to speak his words and reprove sin, lest he would confuse him. To gird up our loins spiritually means to strengthen our faith through obedience, to carry the messages of God without fear. God has promised in his word to confound those who will not yield themselves to his will. Moreover, the Lord states to Jeremiah, verse 18, For, behold, I have made thee this day a defenced city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. We can truly understand the spiritual high tower and spiritual eminence of the prophet. His anointed ministry was far above kings, whom God regarded as spiritual shepherds for the people of Israel. Therefore, since God anointed him above kings, he was God's instrument to correct kings, princes, and priests. The Lord assured Jeremiah victory in all his messages, although unbelievers would fight against them. Jeremiah 1:19, And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. The Lord made it clear to Jeremiah that many would fight against him because of God's message, but they would not be able to prevail against him. Let us further observe the spiritual eminence of the prophet above all the people of God. The Lord said these words to Jeremiah, Jeremiah 6:27, I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. According to that scripture, the prophet's spiritual position was standing so high above the people of God by comparison, that God said, he had made him a tower and a fortress. Jeremiah knew and proved the hearts of Israel by his profound wisdom and knowledge. That is one of the great spiritual benefits and blessings of being a prophetic messenger, to know God's people beneath the surface of a testimony, also having knowledge and depths of hidden intents of their hearts. Only those who are spiritually eminent with the anointing of a prophet, have that discerning to foretell and predict the future events of the people of God. The Lord sent Nathan the prophet to King David, 2 Samuel 12:1, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him, and said unto him, verse 7, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. Verses 9-10, Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord, to do evil in his sight, thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. According to God's word, the highest anointing is that of a prophet. King David believed the prophet's message and repented of his sins of adultery and murder. Because of David's repentance and humility, God told Nathan to tell him that he would not die. Verse 13, And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, The Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. David prayed to God, Psalm 51:3, For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Verse 10, Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David declared, Psalm 35:13, I humbled my soul with fasting. The princes were the heads of each of the 12 tribes of Israel, but the prophets also had authority to correct them. Even the priest, who made the atoning sacrificial offerings, God subjected them to the prophet's message. There is none other ministry rejected by the Christian church today as the ministry of the prophet. In the New Testament, Paul proclaimed, Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some, apostles, and some, prophets, and some, evangelists, and some, pastors and teachers. Out of those five ministries, the ministry of the prophet is the most rejected and neglected one. Why is that? The answer is this: the prophet's ministry defies sin and manifests judgment through the messages that God gives them. The spiritual eminence of the prophet is far greater than that of the pastors, in many instances, because of the sufferings in which God carries them through to be partakers of the word. That also is the reason why there is a scarcity of the prophet's ministry, for lack of commitment and dedication. In order to fulfill the ministry of a prophet or prophetess, we must be fully committed to the cause of Christ. Jesus will therefore bring all our prophecies to pass whether they are small or great. Many churches are spiritually dead because they do not believe in a prophetic messenger. Solomon was emphatic about those who did not have spiritual wisdom and knowledge. He had a prophetic message about those who remain in spiritually dead churches. Proverbs 21:16, The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Jesus warned a young man not to go home to the funeral of his father, because his father's family was spiritually dead. His visitation would result in disobedience to Jesus. St. Luke 9:59-60, And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Verse 62, And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plough, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. In this aspect, the plough is a metaphor of working for the Lord in obedience to the gospel. Looking back is a symbol of rebellion and going back to labor in the pleasures of sins of the world. Lot's wife was a perfect example of a person who was once with the Lord and looked back, and was lost. The angel of God who took hold of her, and her husband's, and two daughters' hands, to lead them out of the destruction of death, which was coming upon Sodom and Gomorrah, emphatically told her not to look back. Genesis 19:16-17, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Verses 24-26, Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. God did not protect Lot's wife from sudden destruction of death because she looked back. Jesus said, St. Matthew 10:26, Fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered, that shall not be revealed, and hid, that shall not be known. When Jesus gives a revelation of his word about an individual or a group, we should not fear them, but obey the voice of Jesus and reprove sin, irrespective of friends or high positions. Jesus continues, verse 27, What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. I desire that you watch closely these words of Jesus, what I tell you in darkness. If Jesus tells us that an individual is committing sin, we should speak in light, which is a metaphor of the truth. Jesus said, And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Jesus is speaking about the revealed word. The Lord desires to use his people by revelation without getting a dream or even without giving us a scripture, only that which he speaks in the ear. God gave that ministry only to the anointed prophets and prophetesses. If you have not truly dedicated yourself when the Lord reveals these truths to you, unbelief will wipe out these revelations. Many times, if you could receive a revelation within the moment that the Lord is speaking, God would work instantly and effectively by delivering a soul or convicting a sinner. Even that could be a means whereby you could enter into a higher realm of faith in the Lord Jesus. Let us observe Samuel, who was a judge and prophet in his era. 1 Samuel 3:11-13, And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house, when I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Although he was a little child, the prophet, Samuel, was obedient, and received a judgment message from God against the family of Eli because of their sins. It mattered not that Eli was very old, he and his sons had sinned against God. He was not a faithful priest, because he failed to take action against his sons when they had sex with women who assembled at the tabernacle, although he was aware of their sins. Samuel was emphatic to Eli of the judgment of God against his household in verse 18, and Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Again, the scriptures prove the eminent spiritual responsibility of the prophet's ministries. The word of deliverance and destruction rested upon the pronounced utterances of the prophet. Samuel's prophecies were accurate, and the leaders of Israel feared and trembled at his voice. 1 Samuel 16:4, And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? We perceive the tremendous reverence that Israel gave the prophet Samuel because of his precise prophecies. They feared that, at that particular time, he had a message of judgment from God. That is why they asked, Comest thou peaceably? Because of Samuel's fervent dedication, God upheld all of his prophecies and not one word of his predictions failed. 1 Samuel 3:19-20, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. That further verifies that God gave the greatest anointing to the prophets and prophetesses. It is evident that when we mature spiritually, the visions and the words of God that he speaks to us will be an established reality. Israel recognized Jesus in the ministry of a prophet. St. Luke 7:1, Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. Verse 16, And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, That a great prophet is risen up among us, and, that God hath visited his people. Because of Jesus' profound words and miracles, Israel declared that a prophet manifested the visitation of God to his people. Some believers of all times chose to be martyrs. However, Elijah was a prophet whom God gave power over life and death. He demonstrated the power of God against an evil king who desired to kill him because of the truth. He was a powerful example for all prophets and prophetesses of all eras. God gave him power to send fire from heaven to destroy his enemies, and to fulfill God's prophetic message. There was no weapon in Elijah's hand. King Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, worshipped Baal-zebub, the false god of Ekron. He sent 100 soldiers with their two captains to defeat and kill the prophet Elijah because he prophesied against him for worshipping Baal-zebub. 2 Kings 1:13-15, and he sent again a captain of the 50 with his 50. And the 3rd captain of 50 went up, and came and fell on his knees before Elijah, and besought him, and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life, and the life of these 50 thy servants, be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven, and burnt up the 2 captains of the former 50s with their 50s, therefore let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, Go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose, and went down with him unto the king. Elijah said to King Ahaziah, verses 16-17, and he said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Forasmuch as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Baal-zebub the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word, therefore thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. So he died according to the word of the Lord which Elijah had spoken. Jesus did not allow his disciples to call down fire when the people did not receive him in Jerusalem. He was the Savior of the world. He gave his life to save sinners who believe in him. He gave them another chance to repent and hear his gospel. St. Luke 9:51, And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Verses 53-56, And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven, and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned, and rebuked them, and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. However, in the last days, prior to the end of the world, Jesus will restore power to the true Christian church to call down fire as Elijah did, through prophetic messages, because of their rage, sin, and unbelief. There will be no mercy for those who fought against Jesus Christ and his true Christian church. Acts 11:26, And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Jesus Christ revealed to John, Revelation 11:5-6, And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth, and devoureth their enemies, and if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. The Old and New Testaments are consistent. God anointed Moses with miraculous power to turn rivers into blood, and to subdue the Egyptians, who refused to liberate enslaved people of God. Exodus 7:20-21 And Moses and Aaron did so, as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod, and smote the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Conclusion: The last days shall be as it were in Moses' era, when God gave Egyptians blood to drink, because they did not desire Israel to have freedom to worship him. The angel of the Lord proclaimed to John, Revelation 16:6, For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Divine judgment is against all those who will not repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ.